Hey, I'm Scott Hanselman, and it is Azure Friday. We're here with Mahesh Tyagarajan talking about some of the new things that are going on around Azure Compute and Azure Resource Manager.
Right. I think we're just announcing the capability, the new updated Azure Compute Network and Storage Platform under Azure Resource Manager, and there have been a lot of new announcements as part of it, right? New feature capabilities, and one of the fundamental things we've added support for is the scalability and the performance improvements that we've made with the APIs, with this support, we now can go provision hundreds of virtual machines really in parallel in a given subscription, so that's a key advancement. And another important part we've done is the improvements in the networking stack. We actually focused a lot on how do we actually bring the basic Lego blocks of networking into the platform, and how do we make it easy for customers to go architect enterprise-grade applications versus, if you think about the cloud service model and how IaaS was integrated, it was more of a packaged story for IaaS versus the capability where customers could pick and choose how they want to do load balancing. How do I want to go do security, right? A lot of those fundamental capabilities have been broken down, and we're giving that with the new JSON-based APIs.
So are you saying before there was basically our way or the highway, it was like, this is the way to do networking? Like, what were the limitations in the existing networking stack that have been now released?
Right. I think one of the fundamental things that has changed is the ability where, and the networking configuration of a virtual machine is not tied to the VM anymore. So we've introduced the concept of a network interface. So it's a brand new resource, a brand new concept, and now these network interfaces can actually float around in your subscription. They're not tied to compute anymore.
Oh,
so
wow.
The life cycle of the VM or the compute and the network is broken apart. So you can actually have network interfaces created separately. You can reuse them as you wish for your application, configure them with specific firewall or network security policies, and attach them. So it's very fundamentally changed.
Interesting. So speaking virtually, is it almost as if you've taken the network card that doesn't really exist because it's virtual and externalized it? It's on the outside of the box now?
Exactly.
And because I've noticed that when I shut down virtual machines, there's threats that my IP addresses are going to be lost and it's going to change things.
Right. So now you have the capability. I mean, the important part is if you use a dynamic public IP address, you're still going to lose it.
Yes.
But then what we do provide the capability of static IP addresses, and you can actually use the static IP addresses with the NICs, and they're going to just
But when putting the other large enterprise type situations.
You would typically reserve them, and then you would attach them to NICs and hold those NICs together, configure them with the right policy so you don't lose them, right? All of those capabilities are there.
Very cool.
And the second thing as part of that is also the capability where we've actually introduced a first-class object for a load balancer. Previously, when you used cloud services, the load balancer was automatic. You got it inbuilt. But now you have to go ask for it. So if you want load balancing in your application, you've got to go create a load balancer and then attach the NICs that belongs to that load balancer. So that's how we do load balancing going forward. So it's not inbuilt or implicit anymore.
So what happens if I go and say Azure VM create and make three of them, and then say Azure VM create multiple endpoints and then map port 80 to port 80? In the past, that's had an implicit load balancer with a complicit round robin.
Exactly.
Does that not happen anymore?
That doesn't happen anymore. So if you actually go just create VMs individually, those VMs are just being created individually. But if you actually want to load balance them, you would have to go create a load balancer. And then when you create the VMs individually with their network interfaces, you've got to map them to the particular load balancer that you want to be part of.
Yep. Which is a change from how it was now, but it is arguably what people would have always wanted.
Exactly. And that's one of the most common comments that we actually have been getting. It's just like, oh, now it actually just, this is how I do it on-premise, and it makes total sense in how you do it in the cloud.
Got some demos?
Yes. So what I have here is actually, I'm going to go ahead, first do a quick walkthrough of the template. What we're going to do is a scalable web tier demo. I want to show the scalability improvements in the platform. Previously, if you had to go deploy like 40 or 50 VMs in parallel, you would have restrictions or limitations, which we have removed. So I'm going to show a demo where I'm going to spin up 40 VMs in parallel in a single availability set.
Seriously?
So it's actually going to happen right in parallel.
Cool.
Okay. So just a quick look at the template. Most of you have looked at it. At a high level, I have a bunch of parameters here, which makes the template repeatable. The key parameter that I want you guys to note down is the number of instances parameter. It's actually configured, like 2. I'm going to change that value. But this is now going to be reused for a bunch of other resources that down below. So I'm going to just directly jump to the VM because of the time. So if you actually look at the VM definition here, there is a new capability in the Azure Resource Manager templates called Copy, which allows you to instantiate multiple instances of the same resource. This is a template language capability. So if you look at the number of instances that we used had at the top, I'm actually using that and passing that into this function. What it is going to do is it's going to create n number of those instances based on what the number that I passed in for.
I see that, and here in name you have copy index, so it's going to be my VM one.
Exactly. So we actually have the capability where, in this example, I'm just using the default start index, so it's going to start from zero. But there is also capability now where you can actually pad left and add capabilities where you can start from like 001,
nice.
And then if you actually want to start from say 5, for example, we have the capability to do that as well. So we have rich language capabilities that allows you to go deploy this. And another interesting part is we've also had that integration done at multiple layers. For example, we have a depends on here with the NIC. So I actually have used the same copy function for the NICs because I need to create 40 NICs for these 40 VMs to work. And it's actually integrated right into the depends on capability. And another cool part about this is if you look at this, I've named this copy function, right? This this whole thing is actually going to create 40 VMs. Now, if I wanted to take a dependency, at an upper layer, let's say, I'm probably spinning up a, secure server or a messaging server or something else, I can use a dependency and I can express a dependency by just giving it this name. For example, I can take this virtual machine loop and just put it as a depends on capability and it'll depend on all the 40 VMs. I don't have to explicitly say that these depends on VM1, VM2 to 40. I can just say that it completely depends on the loop. Wait for those 40 VMs to come up first before you go to the next thing. Okay, so now we've looked at the template. I'm just going to go create a new Azure resource group where I'm going to deploy this template. I'm just going to call it Scalable Web Tier. Let's deploy it in East US.
Okay.
So we're deploying it in East US. So this
that's just the group.
This sets the group.
The logical group.
The logical group where the application is going to be deployed.
Okay.
So let's start the actual resource group deployment. Let's give it a name, as Web Tier Deployment 1. And it's going to ask for the resource group name. So I'm going to type in Scalable Web Tier, and then the template parameter file. So let's actually just take a quick look at the parameter file. So the parameter file is the capability that allows you to make the template repeatable. So you can actually go ahead and reuse the template again and again. So I'm just going to go give it a few things. We're going to deploy 40 instances in East US. And here's a quick storage account name that I'm going to use to create. So let's go. So this is the Azure Deploys Parameters file that we just edited.
Okay.
And this is the actual template file that we looked at.
Right.
And let's just go ahead and deploy. So this request is posted. We are using PowerShell for this deployment. The template is the template validity is checked. And then you'll start.
Oh, so they're all happening at the same time?
Yeah, all of this is happening.
I was going to ask you, like, how is it going to tell us? And they just went, 40 of them are now happening.
Yep. So now what it's doing is, before we get started, first the networking constructs need to be set up. So all of the public IP addresses.
Okay, are the networks.
The networking parts of it is actually just going to go, is being processed.
Oh, right, and we're dependent on those, so the VMs won't start. So there you go, so the IP addresses just went by, the NICs are happening right now.
Yep.
Now one of the things about parallelism is that
all the 40 VMs are being spun up in the same cloud service right now.
One of the things about parallelism is that if you do something too parallel, then everyone thrashes. If I tell Azure 1,000 VMs, is it going to be smart that maybe that's not the best idea? Or is that my job to say, do it by tens?
Right. So we do have that restriction in the platform. So when you actually go deploy at that scale, when you talk about tens and thousands of VMs, we do have some restrictions on the number of API requests that you can make. So we do enforce throttling policies to protect the system against, the service against DOS attacks. So we have enforced restrictions at this point, and it's a changing limit, right? I think at this point we're about, you can create 256 VMs in parallel, but these limits are adjustable. So you can actually go ask for, hey, I need to spin up 512.
You could warn them. You basically say, I'm not a bad guy.
Yeah. You could come and tell us. But we would give you an error message that says, hey, you've made too many requests in this sliding window. Just go adjust that.
So then, or you deal with it and you do them in chunks,
exactly.
64 at a time or something like that.
Exactly.
Okay.
So all of these VMs are coming up in parallel. And I think
if you went into the portal, would you see them all kind of
absolutely.
Chewing?
Yes. So let's actually go look at the portal. Go to this resource groups.
What did you call that resource group?
Scalable web tier.
Okay.
So let's find the scalable web tier. And we just started deploying. And you can see that the deployment is running, right? Which is what we just triggered. And you can see that...
it's like 33 instances so far.
Right.
102 resources.
There are about 102 resources.
Yep, some of them are...
There are actually about 40 VMs. I think that's that number's.
Oh, you think that number is not
Yeah,
correct?
Because like my VM 39.
Yeah, I can about, see them all there.
Yep.
Zero through 39.
And, you know, that kind of adds up too, right? Because you want 40 VMs, 40 NICs, right? And then an availability set. That adds up to the 102 resources.
And people like the having the IP addresses and the NICs being separate individual resources.
Absolutely, absolutely. It's actually been one of the most common feedbacks that we've gotten is that it's very flexible, and you know, and when we add the capability to provide MAC reservation, so when you have these licensing restrictions that comes into the platform, saying, hey, my license ties itself to a particular MAC address, for example.
Oh, now that's interesting.
So you get the flexibility of keeping that NIC and the license together, so you actually bind them together and take them wherever you want.
That's a great example that I didn't even think about. There is a lot of kinds of software that are tied down to MAC address. Now those things can be taken up into the cloud.
Exactly.
Very cool.
Yep.
All right. Well, we're learning all about some of the great new features in compute and Azure Resource Management here on Azure Friday.